Trailers and Skunks, up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Okay, Brian, Trailers and Skunks, what does that have to do with handy guys?
I don't know. Well, I had a question about skunks.
Okay.
We've also been talking a little bit about trailers, and does a handy guy need a trailer? So I figure two topics that aren't going to take a full show, but combined, you know,
maybe there you go.
We'll bring some value to our listeners.
There you have it. And if you have a question or topic you want us to cover, you can email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com.
Or just go to our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com, click on the Contact Us tab, and you'll find our email address, our phone number, or a contact form you can use there.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the handy guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
Okay, Brian, let's deal with skunks first.
Skunks first, all right.
And I lived in my last house closer to the city in a more congested area with lots of homes, and we had way more skunks and skunk problems than we do now that I live out in a more rural area.
Really?
Yeah, they were all over the place. Every night you would smell a skunk almost because someone would run over them.
And
it was everywhere.
That's awful.
Well, so how do you get rid of them if you know you got them
right,
in your
home? Right, I noticed it in our neighborhood, and you know, like two or three nights in a row, one, the dog would get like all like, you know, whatever. And and then you'd kind of get a whiff. And, oh, there's a skunk somewhere. And that's what, you know, woke the dog up.
You know, I talked to my neighbor just last night, and he said he's from Holland.
Okay.
Never heard or saw or smelled a skunk before he came to North America.
Really?
As far as he knows, there are no skunks in Holland and perhaps not in Europe as a whole.
Really? Maybe we need to send some over,
yeah.
Right?
There you go.
So one of my neighbors asked me, you know, what do you do, you know, knowing that I'm a handy guy, right? How do you get rid of skunks? Because they're all kind of seem to be over around this one neighbor's house. Fortunately, not our house.
Right.
Well, you know, my first thought was, okay, we talked about traps and all of that, you know, on a previous show, but you're not going to want to put a trap out for a skunk.
No, I don't want to trap a skunk.
No. So what do? You want to create, you know, minimize the things that are going to bring the skunk around.
Sure. You want to get rid of their food source.
Get rid of their food source. Don't give them a reason to come onto your yard.
Is it just food that they're looking for? Or maybe they found a good shelter, like under your home or something.
Right. Well, in our neighborhood, fortunately, you know, there's no crawl spaces that skunks can get into.
Porches, sometimes there are decks.
Yeah, maybe a deck or something like that. But I think it's mostly food. They're not going to make a home if they can't find some food nearby.
Okay.
So what do skunks eat, Paul?
Well, they don't eat garbage. That's like raccoons, right? They get into your garbage and possums. Right. Do they eat bugs or something?
They eat grubs is their primary food source, or at least around here. And they'll also go in, you know, tomatoes and things like that in your garden.
Okay.
Vegetables and things like that. But grubs around here is their primary food source. So get rid of the grubs and you get rid of the skunks.
Simple. Really?
Simple, simple, simple.
Is it easy to get rid of grubs?
Yes, it is.
Okay, how do you do that?
Well, you can go to the home center and you can buy some stuff that says kills grubs all season long.
Right.
And you spread that around on your yard, and you got no more grubs.
And also the other animals, the thing that goes after grubs are voles
and moles.
Moles, yeah.
Yeah. And so if you see, you know, little holes dug in your yard, something's digging after those grubs.
Right. And it's pretty easy. I've seen sometimes if you're digging a new garden or something, you'll see them all.
You'll see those grubs. There's little white, curly, ugly-looking things in your garden. So there's also a more environmentally friendly, instead of a chemical solution for grubs called milky spores.
Yeah.
And it's a thing you can spread around. But the problem with that is it's not it's not a kill thing for the grubs. So it's a biological thing, and all your neighbors have to get on board with the milky spore stuff, or it's not going to be effective. And generally speaking, that's true with any grub control, whether it be chemical or the biological. But yeah, get rid of those grubs, because then those grubs not only attract the animals that eat them, but what happens after the grubs mature, Paul?
They become like Japanese beetles or something like that.
They become the beetles, yeah. Japanese beetles and or things others. Like that, yeah. Other kinds. And they devour your trees. And I had that problem a couple of years ago. And I got some of that grub all season, you know, stuff. And I put it down in my yard. And now my trees don't get eaten by the beetles.
I don't have grubs, but we still get the beetles. They just come from other lawns and stuff, I think.
Maybe, I don't know. Try the grub control on your yard, and it's going to minimize the beetles on your trees. I guarantee it. At least that was my result.
You know, the other thing that you can use is castor oil.
Yeah, there's some other organic things like that. You know, I'm all about just going to the home center. It says controls grubs. You know, pay by $10.
Except you don't know if like your grandkids are going to grow an extra hand or something. If you
come on, you know, you know, it's the price we pay, right, for this modern society. Right?
So look, there's different solutions. Try, you know, there's a lot on castor oil and on the other ones you mentioned. So there are, but that does make a lot of sense. You'll fix a lot of problems if you get rid of your grubs.
Google milky spore. There, yeah. I think it's. I'm feeling like I'm missing a word here. It's like milky something spore. So what do we find here?
Milky spore powder. Yeah, it's milky spore.
It's just called milky spore.
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
You're right. It sure isn't.
It's not
cheap. Wow. We should sell this on our website. All right, so there you have it. Get rid of the grubs, and hopefully you'll get rid of the raccoons. And if you don't...
get rid of the skunks,
the skunks.
Come on.
What about the raccoons? Wonder if it'll help. No, it won't help them. You got to keep... your garbage locked up.
We don't have raccoons around our house.
I know. I don't
either. But we do have the skunks. And we got the deer. And we got, you know what I saw in my backyard yesterday?
Fox.
Wild turkey.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah.
I know. We see foxes on occasion here too. Right. All right. So there you have it now. Up next, we're going to talk about trailers.
Trailers. Ah, yes.
Okay.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com?
Okay, Brian, so every handy guy can use from time to time either a truck or a trailer.
Right, and I know a handy guy that used to have a pickup truck and got rid of it.
Yes, I did. But I could still pull a trailer when I need it, you know, to get that big purchase.
With the minivan?
Yeah, no, or the Honda or the smaller car. I could pull a trailer when I'm picking up something big, maybe some lumber or other things at the home center, right. Or perhaps, you know, a big item I buy.
Furniture,
an appliance,
mulch.
Yeah, exactly. So the problem is, as we found, just to get a trailer in our domain, in our state, is not so easy. You actually attempted it today, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I mean, it depends on how much you want to spend.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the other thing.
First of all, we were both looking at trailers and thinking, okay, Handy Guys, maybe the Handy Guys, you know, Handy Guys Productions LLC needs to own a trailer, right?
Yeah.
But what do you do for storing it, right? If you don't have a big backyard or side yard, you don't want it sitting out.
Right.
You don't want it in your garage. So there's a company that makes a fold-up trailer. It's a small trailer. It's 4x8. It'd be great for just a couple times a year, getting mulch, you know, going to buy that couch, you know, and instead of paying the $20 delivery charge, throw it on your trailer. You know, small stuff. It's not going to... You know, you're not going to put a $30,000 Harley on it and drive down to Daytona. You know, you're not going to use it for long haul or really heavy stuff. But it folds up and can essentially slide up against the wall of your garage and only takes up about 2 foot by 4 foot of floor space.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the main benefit that we found in this folding trailer. Otherwise, it was probably not as nice as... any of the other trailers.
Right. It's not as heavy duty. So, you know, you can go to the home center. They sell trailers there. You can go to specialty dealers and get trailers. Mm-hmm. We looked at all of those.
You can also rent a trailer.
And you can rent a trailer, right. So this is a good – don't you have a little audio bump on like borrow, rent, or buy?
Yeah, buy, borrow, rent, or
– Or steal. Or something like that. Right. So play
Don't steal it.
Right. Don't steal it. But play that music here.
Okay.
Buy, borrow, rent, or steal with the Handy Guys.
Okay, so
there, but you know, Brian, okay, so here's the deal. We've already gone through in the past the advantages, disadvantages of renting. So in this case, let's just talk about, before we even talk about the renting, the renting might be the best option. But if you want to buy one of these and store it, we found only one model that folds up.
Right. There may be others out there. Let us know. But the one we found was a very inexpensive model at Harbor Freight. We'll give them a plug.
Ching.
Right. So these guys sell imported stuff, you know, that...
from sweatshops and places far away.
From places far away, right.
You don't want to know.
I don't know if it's sweatshops or not. But let me tell you the process. Here in Pennsylvania, anyway... and I didn't learn this process all at one time. I learned it over the course of a few hours of back and forth between the tag place and the store and another trailer dealer. But here's
right.
The process.
So you already have a hitch on your car, and presumably
right, on my truck.
You had hoped it was, you know, go get the thing, put it together, hook it up to my hitch, done with it. But
right. I knew I needed to get a tag.
Okay, so
right?
There, you already knew there would be some process in addition right. to just buying the product.
Right, and I called the fast tag place. I asked them how late they were open. I asked them how much it cost for a tag. And she said, is it new or used? Are you retitling it or is it a new title? And I said, it'd be a new title. And she said, you know, it's about $100 and we got the tags. We're open till 8 o'clock. Come in and do the paperwork.
Okay. And so you went and bought the item.
I bought this put it together yourself trailer that folds up.
And it comes in
at Harbor Freight.
A couple hundred pieces or
it comes in a couple thousand pieces. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't taken it out of the box. It's sitting out in the
but
driveway.
It's pretty extensive. You looked at the manual. It's
I looked
pretty
at the
extensive
manual.
And putting it together. Not terribly difficult.
It might take a couple of Handy Guys 2 or 3 hours to put it together. So I bought the thing. It was only 200, you know, I got a 20% off coupon. It was on sale for $300.
From Xinjiang.
Let another 20% off of that. So it was great price, right? If it's going to do what we need it to do. Drive over to the fast tag place and they said, oh, you're the salesman or the store manager needs to come in and have the title notarized because it actually came
right.
with the title and a VIN number and all of that.
Okay, so then you got to go back to the store and get it notarized.
Right, so I go back to the store and I said, you got to sign this and notarize it. And the guy manager at the store says, no. All I do is I fill out this section and go to this other tags place. They've dealt with this before and they know how to do it.
All right, so you went
so
to
he
a different
he
town.
He filled out this section. Now I go to a town like 5 miles away
right.
instead of a half a mile away. And they're like... First of all, he didn't fill out the right section, and he signed the thing where right. the notary is supposed to sign it.
So it was done wrong.
Done wrong.
Title.
The woman explains to me the process. Because it's a kit trailer,
yeah.
the way it's supposed to work is I need to put that trailer together. I need to take it to a special designated mechanic to do an inspection on it. He needs to take 4 pictures from 4 different specified angles. Send that to the state DMV in Harrisburg, because we're here in Pennsylvania, with a form and some kind of fee, I'm sure. He didn't say that. And then that gets approved that I've put the trailer together correctly and that
right.
it's roadworthy. Then I come back and get the sales guy with the notary and all at the title place to transfer the title.
So the sales guy at the store has got to go to the notary with you?
That's what the fast tags place said.
Pour me a double.
Because it's this whatever. Now
That should be interesting.
Right. So bottom line is I'm taking this trailer back and getting my money back, right?
Yeah.
Go to Lowe's, right? They sell trailers,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't fold up.
You went to where? A big box store?
Yeah, the home center.
Oh, okay.
But there... They said they've got all of that on file already with the fast tag plates. So the process when you go to the home center is you go in, you buy it, you take your receipt and the title over there. They've already got the notary, everything they need, and then they just stamp it and give you the tag.
At Lowe's?
No.
Oh, you take it to the tag.
You go to the tag place from Lowe's.
Which we have in Pennsylvania. We have they're called tag stores.
Fast tags,
which are basically sort of like in other states, you got to go to the DMV or something.
Right, it's like an agent for the DMV.
Right.
So you go there with the receipt and they're all ready to go. And they give you the tag. Then you take the tag back to Lowe's and put it on the trailer and drive away.
So it's a much easier process if you go to the big box stores.
It's much easier because, one, they're doing a volume of these, right? And the fast tag places know about them, right? Not Harbor Freight. And they're like, who is this? What is this?
Yeah.
You know, okay. And they didn't know. And so they've also defined their process.
It's set up.
It's set up.
Okay.
It's ready to go. They understand it.
Awesome.
And the trailer is not a kit trailer. So it doesn't have to go through this whole state of Pennsylvania rigmarole for putting the thing together and getting it inspected and pictures and all of that.
So we both live in a housing development, and we can't just store this thing in the backyard, up against the side of the house.
No.
They're new developments. We can't hide it in the backyard. You know,
right.
There's just not enough room. It's all open. So we really have nowhere to put it.
It's got to go in the garage, right?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Now, can you tilt the ones that are set up, not made collapsible on their side, put them up on their side?
They're going to weigh, I don't know how much, but hundreds of pounds.
Right.
It's going to be a pain in the butt to flip that up on its side.
Yeah. So you're really looking at, unless you go out and rent space for it at a, you know, to store it, which is kind of ridiculous. It does make sense unless you're using the thing every day to just, even then you have to store it to just rent one.
I think that's the way. You know, I need a trailer this weekend and, I'm going to, I talked to a trailer dealer who, gave me some great prices on some really nice trailers. But, you know, like you said, I don't have any place to put it.
There is the other option, though, Brian.
Borrow?
Yeah, remember. It's
right.
By and borrow. If someone has
out
one.
And if you're listening to this, I'm going to call you and borrow your trailer.
So we know somebody that has one. But if they already own it, then you can borrow it if you have a hitch and everything.
Yeah,
and,
sure. Yeah.
It's got the tag on it and ready to go.
Yeah, presumably it's got a tag. You know, I know Alton's does, and I've used other people's trailers. So,
okay.
Yeah, no problem.
So there you have it. If you're thinking about a trailer, if you got a good place to store it, it might be an option if you use it a lot.
Now, to our listeners, if anyone knows of a decent fold-up compact trailer.
Yeah, maybe there's another one out
there. Maybe there's another one out there I don't know about. I know this one from Harbor Freight. I know people that have that own it. They said they like it for what it is. You know, it's not super heavy duty, but it's convenient and you can store it in your garage and still get a car in there if you've got a one car garage. So that's a huge advantage. So if there's something else like that, maybe it's a little heavier duty, maybe it's already pre-assembled and you don't need to go through this rigmarole, I might go buy one.
Cool. All right. There you have it. Skunks
and trailers
on the Handy Guys podcast. See you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.